Okay. As we're going about and we're talking to different people and we hear the stories that they have, a lot of times one of the things that we'll notice when we're speaking to people, or maybe when they're even speaking to us at times, is that people are afraid of change. I don't know about you, but years ago I wasn't real wild about change in my own life. But people like the steady, same old, same old. And the thing is, they even like that even when what they're doing isn't working. And I think part of that is because we're creatures of habit. When people come into a church building, they all pretty much know where they're going to sit. They're going to sit where they did for the last 10 years. And if somebody new walks in and sits in their chair, they might give them the stink eye just a little bit. But that goes back to we're creatures of habit. We just kind of migrate in patterns and we stay in formation and we get into this groove and we like it there. And part of the reason, I think, sometimes it's because of fear. And part of the reason we want to stay where we are, we don't want change, is because of laziness. We don't want to do what's necessary in order to see new results in our lives. And that's really a bad place to be. Sometimes the steps aren't even difficult steps. They're things that are, but they're new for us and they're out of the ordinary. And so we kind of want to stay in our groove. A groove is nothing but a grave with both ends kicked out. That's what a rut is in a groove. It's just a grave with both ends elongated. And we can get into that situation, even if the outcome would be so much better if we made the necessary adjustments in our life. And tonight we're going to see that there are changes that all of us need to make. And it needs to be an ongoing, continuous part of our life. Now, we've been going over our identification with Christ and hopefully seeing a ton of new stuff. And we've been learning about who we are in Him. And we've seen that who we are in Him is so much better, what the Word says, than anything we could have imagined or created on our own. God's imagination is bigger than ours, apparently. So now what do we do? We've got all of this stuff that we've been learning. And what are we going to do with this? How do we get all of this into action in our lives so that it becomes reality and not just doctrine? How do I walk out my victory over sin, sickness, fear, poverty, in God's power, by faith? How do we begin? What is the beginning point to where we start to move this direction? Well, the simplest answer is found in Romans 12:2. And I think this is a very undervalued verse in the New Testament. It's very well known. People just don't do it. He said, and do not be conformed to this world. That word world is cosmos, and it means this present fallen age and all that pertains to it. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In years ago, I read a little blurb about this from a guy named R.C. Trench. And I thought his description of what mind renewal is was very good. He said, it is the gradual conforming of the man more and more to that new spiritual world into which he has been introduced and in which he now lives and moves. Now, let's stop about that and talk about that for just a second. We've been talking about the fact that when we were born again, we were dipped into a brand new age of existence. The new creation that's coming has already begun in us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Or you could say it this way. He has already become a part of the new creation, the new age. So we are already tapped into a brand new spiritual world. That's what we live out of now. Spiritually, you know, physically, we're inhabiting this planet, this physical material world around us. But spiritually, and we have to recognize the spiritual component of our lives, because we're going to dump this body off one day. But the spirit, the soul of man is going to live on for a period of time until we get our new glorified body. So if you want to get right down to it, the most real, most lasting part of you is your spiritual, that immaterial part of your being, not your physical being. And spiritually, we've been plugged into a brand new realm of existence. It's a new plane, you could say, that we get to live on. So we're living on two planes, this natural physical plane in our body. But spiritually speaking, we're in Christ Jesus. And where He is, we are also. So that's a brand new type of Trent said, and in which He now lives and moves. We need to be living and moving in that realm as easily as we do this physical realm. That needs to be as primary and as native to us as walking on this earth with gravity in it. Very normal and natural for us. He went on to describe it this way. It is the restoration of the divine image. Mind renewal is the restoration of the divine image. And in this, so far from being passive, he must be a fellow worker with God. So it's not just up to God to renew our mind, is it? We've got to be cooperative in this. We'll speak about this a little more in just a second. So when God created mankind, some of the things he created us to be was he created us to be a moral agent with pure character, with God's own ideals within himself, and he gave him the ability to discern right and wrong. He gave him the power of reason, the power of choice, and the ability to rule God's creation. Man was created to be quite a being, and like God, we are spirit-based beings. And we've got personalities, we have emotions, we have a heart, and we have a conscience. And among other things, this is essentially what the nature of God in us is. But we know this, at the fall, sin entered into man and marred these faculties. These faculties don't function the way they were originally created to move in us. The mind was distorted. The conscience was distorted. The heart was distorted. The flesh nature moved into, tapped into man's body and found a home there. And it plugged into the inner man. So it began to distort everything. So he began to become dysfunctional. The fallen man is a very dysfunctional being. And it's not, that's not the way we were created to be. But God, through the new birth, has begun to restore that image. Now, it's begun in the realm of our spirit. We've talked about that. That's what happened when the Spirit of God came in, circumcised us in Christ, which cut away the flesh nature from having direct access to our heart, recreated our spirit, and then he moved in. And he set up shop in your spirit. We have merged with God in our spirit. There is a supernatural merger that has taken place here. But there's a problem still. Our soul, our mind, will, emotions, and our inner man, and some of the qualities in there, they are still needing to be transformed. And what that requires is something from us. We have to give a continual, consistent cooperation with the Holy Spirit to do this. We have to cooperate in our own mind renewal process. It's not just something, again, that God's going to whoop on us. Lord, renew my mind. I'm waiting. When are you going to do this? And that's been prayed for a lot of times. But a lot of times we haven't realized that we have this very important role to play in this act of renewing our mind, of this taking on of the image of God, the way we're created to have. And the reason is because we are free will beings. God just doesn't come in and just overtake and begin to make us do anything. Every step along the way of our walk with God requires a new decision. Every time we come to a new place in life, we have to, as a free will being, choose to have that in our life. Whether it's walking with God in the area of our finances, in the area of our marriage, in the area of our job, whatever it is, if we want God's blessings and all that he has, because we do have this power of choice, which is very important, God wants us to cooperate with him, choosing every step along the way. And here's essentially what we're doing. Little by little, over time, we're giving more and more ground for his lordship in our lives. And you think about the Christian life is very much a part of, we just keep giving him more and more lordship. Now, we declare him Lord at salvation, at the new birth. But in reality, as far as the way that functions in us, he didn't just come and take us over. If so, we would have never sinned since. We would have never made some of the decisions that we made. We have to steadily, consistently, over time, every time we have opportunity to choose either God or this world, God or the works of darkness, we have to keep choosing God little by little. When they went into the promised land, there were giants there. When Israel went in, they had to overtake those places. And some of those were some very strong strongholds. And sometimes we have strongholds in our soul. We have things that we've tucked away for ourselves. We have wrong ideas. We have wrong beliefs. We have wrong dreams. And little by little, we have to keep giving each one of those things over to God. I mean, haven't you experienced that since you've been born again? I mean, you thought you were doing really well. Suddenly, the divine flashlight went on, and you saw somewhere in your life where we didn't even realize it was there. Why? Well, because we walked in it for so many years. It was part of us. And he was coming in saying, yeah, you haven't given that over to me yet. So I want you to make this decision, or I want you to make that decision. And he expected us to willingly make the choice to give that over to himself. This is what Paul's prayer was about in a large degree over the third chapter of Ephesians. You have this in your notes, Ephesians 3, 19 through 20, living water. He said, and finally I pray that every part of your beings will be permeated with the full character of God. The power of God operating in us makes it possible for him to do far more than we can imagine or ask of him. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got a big imagination. And he says the power of God can do way more than anything I can imagine. So that's an incredible prayer that Paul was inspired to pray in this letter to the church at Ephesus here. You were created in Christ Jesus to eventually become a perfect physical representation of God in the earth. Now think about that. God's plan for you is for you to become a perfect reflection, a representation of who he is in this planet. Jesus said this, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Remember that? Guess who lives in us now and whom we live in? Christ Jesus. He wants us to grow into the same place to where Jesus was when he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I long for the day when I can honestly, without reservation, look to somebody and say, when you've seen me, you're looking at my daddy God. Now, I realize, woo, Dennis has got a lot of growing up to do before we hit that time. But we're headed there. I like something Andrew Womack said. He says, you know, we haven't arrived, but we've left. We're on the path, aren't we? We're not where we were. We're not where we want to be, but we're not where we were. We're on this journey. And the journey is to create immense change inside of us. Now, in Romans 12, 2, let's talk about what the soul is. A lot of times it's been limited in the past to just your mind, will, and emotions. But one of the elements of the soul, one part of the nature of the soulish realm, is that it is something that can change. Your spirit in Christ, it cannot change. It doesn't need to be changed. If you've merged with God, what was wrong with God when he moved in? Your spirit was born again with what? God's nature. Is there something wrong with God's nature that needs to change? Absolutely not. But there is a part of your immaterial being that does need change, and that is the soul of man. And it consists of not only the mind, will, and emotions, but this inner man, this heart of man, in which the conscience works along with your heart. So this area is your soul. That area is my soul. This needs to be developed. It needs to be supernaturally changed. Over there in Romans 12, 2, he used the Greek word be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that Greek word for transformed, and I know many of you have heard this, but it's where we get our English word metamorphosis from. And the picture of it, and you'll hear a lot of people use this as an illustration, it describes the process of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Something it was very developmentally begins to happen, and what you see at the end does not look like what it did at the beginning. So he's saying that our thinking and our character needs to transform into something beautiful. But now I'll be honest with you. When I hear the word transformed, I don't think about caterpillars and butterflies. I go back to my childhood. There was a show on TV that I remember watching as a kid. And I remember when it came on, it was just the coolest thing. It's called The Incredible Hulk. And I remember when that came on. And Bill Bixby's there, this little scrawny dude. He comes in, and you know, at the beginning, his wife dies. She's in there in a car wreck, and he can't get the car off of her. And it seemed like it was on fire and all that. But whatever, he couldn't save her. And he went into this, he was tormented by that, and he was a scientist, trying to figure out why didn't his adrenaline kick in? Why didn't his body respond? Why couldn't he get the car off of his wife? So he got to meddling around with gamma rays. So he's in his laboratory, and he's playing with all this stuff because he wants change. What was wrong with me? And this is just working on him. So you know how he went in this little booth, capsule, whatever this little compartment was he went in, and the machine comes on, and suddenly something happens to him. And that's the one place, that's the one place that I remember as a kid first understanding what the word metamorphosis meant, because they used that word on that on that television show. He went through a metamorphosis. So what I see when I see the renewing of the mind is, I see initially there is a Bill Bixby, a little scrawny dude, all messed up in his thinking. He's tormented. He's just in a horrible place. But there has to be something drastic, something big, something huge take place in the realm of my soul. What has to happen? My Bill Bixby has to turn into Lou Ferrigno, the big green dude. And you remember the show. It would always start out. He would always turn from Bill Bixby to Lou Ferrigno twice in the show. And what happened was usually there would be a fight. Somebody would be picking on him. Somehow he would either get pushed over a piece of furniture or knocked into another room where nobody could see him. And suddenly you'd hear the word, the music, and he'd look up and his eyes were white. And you're going, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. They'd be this greenish white. And the next thing you know, you'd see pictures and clothes were ripping and falling off of him. It was the coolest thing. And next thing, and he comes out and he just cleans the house. Everybody that was pushing little David Banner around, they got worked over by the Incredible Hulk. That is metamorphosis. We have to have a Bill Bixby metamorphosis, and the big green dude has to come in and push all the rest of this junk out of the way in our soul. It takes a lot of ability. It takes a lot of power, in which we've been promised that through the person of the Holy Spirit. We have God's omnipotence inside of our spirit now. And part of the purpose of omnipotence in this respect is to transform all of these ideals, all of these patterns of thinking, all of these things that were beliefs that might be wrong, to change that in us. I have a statement here, and I think it's in your notes. Mind renewal is the process that brings my soul into perfect agreement with who I already am in my spirit. And it is the reestablishing of the image of God in my soulish realm. That's what it means. So that means my desires, my mindset, my character, everything has to be changed and to come into agreement with what God has already made me in my spirit. Another name you'll see people using a lot in recent decades is the term spiritual formation. That's what they're talking about. A formation that takes place. It's a reorientation of our soul into the new life and age of which we're now a part. Because living in this world, there's constant pressure to try to make you think you're just like everybody else. The devil's great work in this planet is his deceptive ability. And he has convinced most of believers, those following Jesus, that they are just old sinners saved by grace. That they have no access to anything else. And if they did have a God to access, they need to beg and plead with him to get him to do anything for them. And it's almost like a deism. God is way off somewhere, and he's really busy. And he's just kind of let things run down here. So you're just lucky to have anything. So you just need to shut up. You need to get sick like everybody else. You need to stay under the burden of all the pressures of the world. You need to stay depressed. You need to be beat down. You need to go through all the horrible things, and your kids need to go crazy like everybody else's kids go crazy. All of this stuff. And he's convinced so many in the body of Christ that that's their plot and lot in life. And we bought into it. What is that? That's old age thinking. That's old realm thinking. That's carnal fleshly thinking trying to squeeze you into its own mold of thinking. And the sad thing, it has worked. But Romans 12:2, let's do it in the Voice Bible. Do not allow this world, again, that's this old age and its way of thinking, its desires, its values. Do not allow this world to mold you in its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. So where does the change begin? From the outside in or the inside out? That means it's the Spirit of God that works this in us. God said, don't allow your behavior to be purposefully pressed into the sordid shape of this world's ways. On the contrary, be totally transfigured. I love that word transfigured. Reminds me of the Mount of Transfiguration. There was a huge metamorphosis that took place what was in Jesus internally came to the surface. And James, Peter, and John saw that. He's saying a process similar to that needs to take place in your soul. What is in you, in your spirit, needs to come to the surface in your soul. And it needs to begin to shine what is inside of us, transfigured by the rebirthing, renovation of your mind. I like those words too. How many of you watch these renovation shows on TV? Some of those houses are in terrible shape. And they go in, and you know what they do? They gut them. They take a hammer, the biggest hammer they can find, and they just let people just start tearing walls out of it. Just rip it apart. They rip everything up off the floor. Sometimes they rip all the flooring out. So they can put brand new flooring down, even subflooring. And they just, what is in there, it has got to go. That is a great description of what has to happen in our souls when we get born again. What is left over? What was left over behind? It is nothing. There's nothing in there worth saving. There's not even a pretty old cabinet in your old soul that was worth saving. Everything needs to be had a hammer taken to it, and it needs to be completely pulled out of there. It needs to be completely obliterated. There's nothing worth saving in that soul. It needs to be completely transformed. There needs to be a metamorphosis, change in our soulish realm. Now, before we were born again, we've talked about this quite a bit too. We know that this world system, and that means Satan's broadcasting system, it was working very hard to shape our thought life. It taught us its values. It taught us the way to think. Satan taught us very much about how to think before we were born again. And even since we've been saved, the broadcasting system never has taken a day off. It has not shut down. It's still broadcasting. All you have to do is turn on your TV. It's broadcasting. All you have to do is go in the store. It's broadcasting. Drive down the road, look at a billboard. It's broadcasting. Satan's advertising is running constantly, and it never quits. Satan never gives up. He is continuing to try to work on our minds daily. Daily. All the time. He'll try to intrude into your dream life if that doesn't work. He's trying to get into your thought life, because if he knows, if he can get into your thought life and he begins to shape you from there, he's got you. As a man thinks, so is he. So if he can penetrate the way we think, he can control our life. And then things start falling apart and we're just like, well, what's going on? What's happening? Well, we've been listening to too much broadcasting. We've paid too much attention to it. So overall, the world broadcasting system, its goal is to get us to value and to pursue things that are temporary and won't pass through the eternal veil. He wants you to build your life on things that are temporary, things that are not going to last. And that way, right now, while you're in this planet, it will neutralize your impact for the kingdom of God. So he's got you distracted. The Lord, the devil loves to distract us. He gets distracted with life. Now, let me say this among believers. You know some of the stuff he likes to distract you with? Raising your kids. You know, children are the most used, one of the most used excuses as to why people won't serve God. Well, I tell you, my kids have got to do this, and they got to do that, and they got to do this, and they got to do that. And what does all this busy and activity do? Because I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we had limited activities we did. And when it was time to be in church, we were in church. Y'all remember that? Yes. Buddy, that's just the way it was. That's the way it was when I grew up. Or any type of a function where we were going to be with other believers. But he wears people out with their kids, with their grandkids, with their nephews or nieces or any of that, to the point where they are absolutely exhausted. Satan wants to exhaust you. He wants to distract you. You look at the parable of the seed and the sower. What are the things that come in to choke the word? The distractions of this age, the lure of riches, all of that is just worldly thinking. But what he wants to do, God wants our houses to be a representation of heaven. He wants them to be a representation of the eternal age. So what does that mean? That means Jesus becomes front and center. And what he says and how he leads us in the raising of families, that's what we do. We obey him. But we're getting our parenting and our other ideas from the way the world says that does it. And when we watch the neighbors doing something, we think we got to do it too, to that extent, to that degree. And parents, a lot of times, they'll be in ball games. They'll get up. They'll just about cuss as bad as anybody else will. Yeah, they'll just be as nasty and dirty and competitive. Thank y'all for your rousing amens tonight. None of this is in my notes. I have absolutely no plan to go into anything I'm saying right now. So you're welcome. This has been the furthest thing from my mind. I hadn't even thought about any of this stuff. So I'm blaming it on Jesus. But I was just, these are distractions. And it's all kinds of stuff. Careers. He uses people's jobs. If he can get you to work yourself to death, Satan is more than happy to do that. And why do we do that? Because we got to get another dollar. We got to get another buck in the bucket. We got to keep it coming in because we've got to look a certain way. Well, anyhow, this is the stuff that slowly eats away our life. And we need to understand, we are living right now in this planet in a spiritually toxic environment. And the thing is this, we're going into this world every day and we're breathing in the fumes. This is a gas chamber. We're breathing in the fumes without making sure from the inside what we have in us will neutralize what we're coming into contact with. We're breathing in the toxins of the world, and we're not detoxing by spending time in the presence of God, spending time in the Word of God, spending time in praise and worship of God, spending time with the people of God. Those things help neutralize and detox us from this world. Because, again, it doesn't quit. It will not quit. Satan is absolutely devoted to capturing our attention continuously. He's devoted. And if one lure doesn't work, he'll rebait and throw it back out there again to see if that catches you. But he's hunting. He's hunting for you. He's hunting for me, trying to find what will pull us in. And what he wants to do, again, another thing is to kill our walk with God. Because if he can kill that, then again, he stops us from realizing we're not confined to this earth. You are plugged into something beyond this horizon. The Spirit of God brought you into the eternal age, to the eternal life, and that life lives in you now. You're plugged into a new value system. What is that value system? The Word of God declares over and over again in many places and opens us up to what the new value system is. God's Word in Romans 12:2, it says this. Reichert said, "So let the dynamic of these new thought patterns create in you a fresh lifestyle, utterly revolutionary and contrasting sharply with the purely secular establishment." Now, here's what I like about that paraphrase. It uses the word revolution. And when you think of a revolution, you think of a violent encounter. See, the kingdom of God is suffering violence. Violence is trying to come against the kingdom of God from coming into manifestation. But you know what? The violent take it by force. And if you and I are going to walk in the presence and the power of the kingdom of God, and that's what we're created to walk in, we're going to have to take it by force because the devil is working very hard to keep chipping away at our life. What's he trying to do? He's trying to take the kingdom away from you. Now, you'd be plugged into it, but all he's got to do is neutralize you. If he can just stop us from being effective for the kingdom of God, he's perfectly happy with that. He doesn't have to drag you into hell. He just wants to shut you down while you're here. That's fine. That's good enough. Whatever he can do. So he doesn't quit. So what we have to do is we have to be more relentless than the devil is. He's relentless. He doesn't quit. We don't say, uncle, and he lets off. No, he keeps scrubbing your head. You remember as a kid, if you had brothers, you probably remember, the older brother would get your head in a headlock and he would take his fist and he would ball up his knuckles and he would scrub that head. That's what the devil wants to do to you all the time. He wants to scrub your spiritual head up just till he scrubs the hairs out of it. Because that's what we thought as kids. They felt like they're just uprooting all the hair we had. We thought we were going to be bald if they didn't quit. So we would say uncle or what was that other people used to be? Yeah, mercy, and there were no mercy rules, or I give. Hog tie, it was something else. Calf rope. Calf rope. I was close. I was in animal kingdom, and I knew something was either tied with a rope. So calf rope, something to get them to turn loose, to let go. Well, you can holler all you want, and that's not going to do it. We've got to be relentless. We cannot quit at this thing. And it's going to be the Word of God. There is a world overcomer living inside of every born-again believer, and it's fighting to come to the surface. You're built for this stuff. I mean, after all we've seen, you see, you're created for this brand new life in Christ Jesus. You're like nothing that existed on this earth before Jesus came along. His life entered into you now. You're changed. You'll never be the same again. And then God's dreams begin to come into you. He began to give you flickers. You ever been going along in life and suddenly you would see just something come up in you and it's like, wow, where'd that come from? And it was you somehow serving people in some capacity, in some way, maybe in a way you never really considered yourself before, and you felt like Gideon, I can't do that. I'm the least and the least tribe. We lived on Sticky Road when I was raised. We don't do stuff like that on Sticky Road. And then that flicker wouldn't go away. What's going on? The Spirit of God is speaking to you in your thought life. He begins to come and revamp your dream life. It's no longer the pursuit of the American dream. It's the pursuit of the kingdom dream that came straight out of the heart of deity. And He will not quit on us. And it's important for us to continue to hang in there with Him, to continue to let Him develop this. See, the healer is living in you. The encourager lives in you. The deliverer is living in you. The supernatural gifts of the Spirit. All of these things are alive and they are well in you. We talked about, again, we've been made part of the new age. And remember over in Hebrews 6:5, the writer said that we've been tapped into, Laubach's translation said, we have tapped into divine power which will rule in the ages to come. You are built to rule. There is divine resurrection power, resurrection life, instilled in you. You are flowing with this in your spirit. You are built to be this. You're built to rule. Over what? Over the works of the evil one. Because in Christ they've been destroyed, but you and I have to enforce that. And we have authority to do that very thing. Paul wrote about the importance of mind renewal in other places. Turn over to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. He had been talking to them about many things about who they are in Christ. The first 3 chapters are primarily doctrinal. And then in the 4th chapter, he begins to talk about how they are to live this thing out. How do we bring the first 3 chapters into life? How do we bring who we are in Christ to life? And again, the 4th chapter starts, he begins to say practically, here's how you're going to live out these spiritual truths that I've been writing to you about. Ephesians 4, we're going to begin reading at verse 20. He said, but you have not so learned Christ. He had just gotten finished talking about the darkness and the deception in an unbeliever's mind. It's Gentile thinking, unbeliever's thinking. I mean, these people are in bad shape. Verses 17, 18, and 19. He said, but you've not so learned Christ that way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. Gogic said, you have honestly heard Him and have been truly taught in Him, just as the truth explicitly exists only in Jesus. The truth explicitly exists. There's one place. He said, only. That means this is the only place you can go to find truth. He said, it exists only in Jesus. Here's what fallen old world, old era teaching tells you. It tells you, you cannot hear God's voice clearly. It tells you, you cannot lay hands on the sick and see them be made well. This world that we're living in tells you, you cannot speak supernaturally or prophetically into anybody else's life. This world around us tells us, you can't overcome depression because it runs in your family. And on and on and on. When you hear those things, let me just tell you, those things do not bring life. So guess who they are not from? They're not from God. We serve a good God and there is a bad devil. So if it is good and you have the Spirit of God speaking that to you, that's God. If it is evil and it is destructive, and He's telling you, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. See, I find out when I'm working with God and walking and changing in Him, He's always telling me what I can do in Him. He doesn't even focus as much on the thou shalt nots, even though we know there are things that I don't want to do. We should not be doing, because it's out of agreement with the divine nature of God in us. But he's always showing me the bigger picture. He's always showing me, you do this and this will be the result. So all of these things that tell you you can't do these things that God said you can do, I mean, that's a no-brainer. That comes straight out of the evil one's heart here. And Paul said this, the truth about these things and all things can only be found in Christ. If you want to find out who you really are and what you can do, you begin to learn about who you are in Christ. He says, that's it. That's the last place you need to look. That's the only place where you have truth that is trustworthy. In verse 22, he said that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So here he says, put off the old man behavior, and you're going to do that by putting on new man thinking. If you want to change the outward part of your life, change the inward part. Because what you are inwardly is what's going to manifest on the outside here. And he goes straight to the point of, you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, the thing is this, we don't have an old man anymore. Sometimes you'll hear Christians, they'll get into a tight spot and they'll say, and you know, they might start giving over into sin. They'll say, well, that's my old man rising up in me. Mm-mm. You don't have an old man. See, the old man you used to be was crucified in Christ, died with Christ, and the last time we saw anything of that guy was in hell. And then something happened to him. When life came into Christ Jesus, that relationship with the Father reestablished itself in all conscious communion again, he was blown completely up. You can't find one particle, not one atom exists, of the old man that you used to be prior to being born again. Now, that takes a lot to get our mind wrapped around that. You do not have an old man. But the problem is, we can have old man thinking. When he left, after he died, that old person used to be, before you received Jesus, his messed up, trashy, unbelieving thinking is what he left behind. He had done a number in your head. He had boogered it up 9 ways from Sunday. And it's just like this. When a person dies on earth and they leave their house behind, and sometimes you go into their house. Now, they're not there anymore, but you see stains on the carpet. There are cobwebs everywhere. You find out just how clean they were, won't you? You'll find old furniture that's just been tore up, drug down, two before it's been nailed up under the bottom to hold it back up. Rotten wood, water leaks that had not been taken care of, just messed everything up, ceiling tiles hanging down, maybe a varmint running in and out of holes in the wall. It's just a mess in a lot of cases when somebody passes away and you go into that house. The old men that used to be Larry, that used to be Linda, that used to be Marty, that old person, Lordy, they left things in a mess. When they died, they had adopted the world around them, and they looked in the inside just like the world around them looked. And it was, their whole life was just an absolute mess, and they didn't even think it. You know, people live in those conditions a lot of times, they don't think one thing about it. They've adjusted to it. We're very adaptable beings, and we just adjust our climate. And that can work for us or against us. We are conforming beings. We if we get used to this unspiritual climate, this ungodly climate around us, this darkness of the world around us, we can just adjust to it and where our lives just look just like everybody else's around us, and we can make ourselves feel very good about it. And if somebody comes along saying there's another way, we start to question whether they're valid or not. Why did you hear what they said? I don't believe that. Saw a deal the other day on YouTube. This woman was challenging this guy who they videoed, and he just prayed for this lady, and we saw her leg come out all about half an inch or an inch right there in the video. And I watched him, and as a former occupational therapist, I can spot many, because I know how the body moves and I know a lot of tricks that you can do to make things look like something. But this lady on this video was trying to say, this guy's a charlatan. This is not real. Why? Because he came along saying Jesus is the healer, and she doesn't believe that. Her Reformed theology says that can't be. If I'm not mistaken, that's what she was, a Reformed person. So these things are passed away. God's not doing this anymore. So when this guy comes along, and he's even got a video, she was saying, look, he's pushing her shoe in on that other side. And I watched his hand. There was no monkey business. There was no manipulation. I watched it over and over again. And she even tried to show it in slow motion. And I thought, girl, you are making his case for him. Because there is nothing there would show anything about any manipulation coming along. But what happened? The new thinking of the new era says, you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And it bumped up against some old junkie thinking she had. And part of it she'd had from her church teaching. See, part of people's mind renewal process needs to be from the stinking religious thinking that they were raised in too. How many of you have had to change some of your beliefs since you've been born again? Amen. Every one of us have. Every single one of us have. And so those things bump heads in us. And know this about carnal thinking, whether it's carnal leaven of the Pharisees or it's just carnal thinking of the world around us. Carnal thoughts die hard. They go out fighting and kicking and biting. They're like the little kid. You're going to take them to the doctor and you know it. And on the way out, they're grabbing the door frame. No! No! And in the car, they're keeping their foot up against the door trying to, no, don't put me in the car. That's the way a carnal thought leaves. It goes out fighting and scratching. It will give you every excuse as to why it must stay. It will give you every rationale as to why what you're going into is going to be deadly. You don't want to trust that Bible stuff. Who do you know that does that anyway? I mean, that right there is going to make you weird if you do that. Carnal thinking fights like crazy to hold its ground. So we need to understand that. So when we're going to talk about mind renewal here, it's a battle. That's why we have to be so resilient. If we get knocked down, we get back up. You stay with it. So it collected the old guy that used to be us, or the old lady. The old lady. Why did he say old lady instead of old man? I like that better. Careful. Yeah, I'm careful. I don't want to get beat here. But the old person you used to be collected the world's junk. They were a hoarder. The old person that you were before you were born again was a hoarder. And it was a hoarder of the world's thinking. And there's a lot of that thinking that comes into us, and we bring it over into the Christian life. So the cleanup process, Levitt's paraphrase of this said, the spirit of your mind or your mindset has to undergo constant renewal. It's constant. You can't let up on this. Godzik said, experience the rebirthing renovation in the spirit of your mind so that you will put on the fresh, clean clothes of that new self, which was fabulously fabricated to be exactly like God in a real righteousness and the total truth of holiness. Boy, that's good. And the Message Bible said, as God accurately reproduces his character in you. That's being a partaker of the divine nature. God is accurately wanting to reproduce his character in us, again, so that we can reflect him in this planet, so that people will see God is alive and well. How do you know? Because Amy lives around the corner. If you've ever seen her, there's something different about her. Because Ann and Randy, they live up the street. Then folks, there's something about them, and I can't even put my finger on it, but I'm telling you, there's something very different about what they are. And it's not just that they will spout off Bible scriptures, but their life reflects a different value system. Exactly. Our value system is the kingdom of God. That's what begins to take place in our life as we get our minds renewed. So mind renewal or spiritual formation means the taking on of our new identity in Christ. And we put off the old identity. Because that's what we're talking about, an identity. There has to be an identity change. See, you and I have been walking around with the wrong picture of ourselves in our minds. You know what many of us as believers have been walking around with? The picture of a dead person. Somebody who doesn't even exist anymore. Now, let me tell you this story. When I was a kid being raised, and I think the older generation used to do this. Some of them did, I know. But my mama, I remember going to her house, and they would be talking about some of our family maybe or friends that had passed away. And she would bring out this box every once in a while. And I'm a kid, and she brings out a box. Kids want to see what's in the box. So she pulls the lid off the box, and she pulls out photographs. And you know what these photographs are of? Dead people in a casket. People used to take photographs. Now listen, to me, that's just kind of creepy. To her, it wasn't creepy at all, though. But when she thought about those people, her last picture of them was literally in the casket. So she would pull out, and you know, everybody's laid there, and everybody's got the catfish look on their face. Everybody, when you die, you're going to look like a catfish. So I guess you're going back to creation, would say the evolutionists. But anyhow, it's a weird deal that takes place. But I remember as a kid seeing that. And I would see, and there's a picture of them in the casket. And I'm looking, that's not really good. That's just weird. That's creepy. That's weird. That's strange. It's like we're the monsters. What's going on here? And there are a lot of people, as creepy as it sounds, they're carrying a person that they used to be. There used to be somebody who lived in their body. We're not talking about reincarnation, of course. We're talking about that old person that used to be, for all teaching purposes, you. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's not the old I anymore. That old I you used to be. We're still identifying very much with that old person in many areas of our life. And sometimes we'll blame it on genetics. Now, there are certain genetic similarities. Sometimes I'll sit like my dad and I'll notice it and I'll think, just like my daddy used to do. Or we'll see our siblings do something and we'll see that in them. We'll think, that's just like daddy. Oh, wait, I do that too. So we see those things. But a lot of times we're blaming our parents for identities that we could, part of these things that we could shuck off if they don't agree with the Word of God, with who God tells us that we are in Christ. So we have to pay attention to that. When we have in the natural this identification card called a driver's license. Now, this identification card, now that picture looks a lot like me. He was heavier there. Looked like cheeks like a chipmunk. But anyhow, there's something wrong with this identification card. The address on it says 111 Promised Land Drive, El Dorado, Arkansas. I don't live there. Yet I'm carrying this around in my billfold all the time. See, I've got to go back at some point next year, and I've got to go get a new identification card. They've got to reissue me a new card with proper information on it. You and I, many times, are carrying around a card in our thought life of a person that doesn't exist. They're not there. I could go back to that address, and if I walked in that front door, I could either get shot, hit over the head with a hammer. But that place is not mine. I have no business on 111 Promised Land Drive anymore. I'll get killed going back to that place. I'll get hurt or maimed badly. Maybe wish I was dead. And a lot of times we're carrying that card around, and what we need to do is go to God and get a new card reissued to us. Mind renewal or spiritual formation is the reissuing of your spiritual identification. Remember, we've been talking about identification. Who do you identify with? Do you identify with the old Adam or the last Adam? Because the old Adam lived in a place. It was real for him at the time, but he died. The new Adam came in, though, and now we live in a new place. There was a time when I was bound to this earthly sphere, but now I may still walk on this planet, but I've been raised in Christ Jesus and set in heavenly places in him. I live in a new place now. I need to think like that. The old person died. The old person was buried. The old person, he was destroyed. Then a new man came into existence and given life. And he resurrected. And he ascended. And he sat in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. That's who I am. And the outer face may still look the same. But the person I really am is very much different now. So we need to go to God and we need to present these things before him. Say, you know what? I've moved addresses. I don't live there anymore. I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. And we need to speak in agreement with that. If I were to get some mail from down there and it wasn't mine, but it was to that address, we could just take it back to the mailbox and say, you need to send it down there. We don't live there anymore. This may be good information for them to have down on 111 Promised Land Drive. But listen, that doesn't work in my life. The enemy's always trying to present you with stuff from your old address. He brings you junk mail. And he says, well, looky here. You need to get in debt so that you can afford this or that or the other. And then I need to say, no, you see, I'm not so in love with goods and having a bunch of stuff that I have to do that. You see, I live in a place of contentment now, to where I can enjoy what I have without always constantly reaching for more. So all these letters are going to be coming at you. Oh, look, you're sick. You're so sick. There's nothing you can do about it. You just have to live with this till the day you die. There's just nothing that can be done for you. Return to sender, address unknown. No, that doesn't belong to me. I'm not going to steal that man's mail. It's not mine. Mail fraud. But we keep accepting this mail that we keep having sent at us. We need to reject that by doing what? Standing in our place in Christ Jesus. Because this is who we are now. There are other passages that talk about these same things. Colossians 3, 9 through 10. Paul said, and you have put off the old man with his deeds, and now put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So whose image are we being renewed in? The one who created us. God said, you have definitely divested yourselves of your previous person. I like that. I'm divested of that previous person. Along with his abysmal outward actions. He was a jerk. And he said, now, having clothed yourselves with the conscious countenance of a brand new species of being, because remember, you're a new species, someone that never existed before Jesus resurrected, which is uniquely undergoing a process of true transformation through the reception of that imparted, precise perception based on the same divine diagram of him who created you. The schematics are out. The diagram is out. You are being recreated. And you know who's on the diagram? Almighty God himself. And he's saying, this is the pattern. You go to build a house, there's a blueprint. There's a blueprint about you. And there's a building process going on. And when you pull it out in the Word of God and you begin to look in it, what you see is you are being rebuilt to look exactly like your Creator, Father God. Step by step, little by little, you keep making choices to follow Him. You keep making choices that when He speaks to you, you obey that. Little by little, over and over again, you're being created in your soulish realm in righteousness and in holiness of truth. So that's a return to the original intention that God always had for us. We are to become a person who looks, sounds like, walks, and acts just like Jesus. Say, those are big shoes to fill. That's exactly right. That's why he came into us, to fill those shoes out. So you're not alone. You'll never be alone again. You're never going to have to walk alone in this life. I thought Miss Linda's testimony last week was such a blessing. Oh my gosh. That was so awesome. You know, she's talking about the passing away of her husband and how the Lord ministered to her through that. I ought to just give you an offering, girl. That was so good. I was so blessed by what you said. You will never be alone. You will never be alone. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You're always going to be in Christ. Christ is always going to be in you. His ability is always going to be on tap. His grace is sufficient for you. It's more than sufficient. You're made a mega super conqueror. More than conquerors in the Greek means super conquerors. It's ridiculous what he's made you. What you have the option to tap into. And we need to opt into the program. This is some pretty awesome stuff here. And this has been the vision of the Father since before the foundation of the world. He chose you in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. Listen to that. Where did he choose you? In Christ. He chose you to look exactly like your big brother. He saw what you would be even when you were nothing like what you would be. And he made a way for us to get there. This is an awesome life here. Dallas Willard said, spiritual formation for the Christian basically refers to the spirit-driven process of forming the inner world of the human self in such a way that it becomes like the inner being of Christ himself. Think about that. He's forming an inner world because inside of you there is a world. And that world, you're plugged into the new realm of God in Christ. And he's saying, in the soulish aspect, he wants to make you look and think and act your values, the things you love and adore, just like Jesus's. how he thought, how he viewed this life, his plans, his purposes. I came to do the will of him that sent me. It's my meat. It's my nourishment to do the will of him that sent me. It's what I thrive on. It's what I feed on. It's what makes me tick is what he was saying. And he's saying, that's what God's come to do in you. What an awesome life we have. This is incredible what God has given us in Christ Jesus. Now, one of the things, again, I keep wanting to say this, we're not talking about information transfer. This requires revelation. Remember, there's a word gnosis that means knowledge in the Greek. But revelation knowledge is epignosis. Epi meaning upon, and knowledge meaning gnosis meaning knowledge. So there has to be an operation of God, epi, upon knowledge, gnosis. And when those two come together, when God operates upon knowledge or information, and he pulls the lid off of that, the reality comes in. And when that happens, you can live in it. Now it's you. Now it becomes part of your identity. It becomes something you can live and move and have your being in now. Because see, you were created to live and move and have your being in God Almighty, out of his life, him as a source. And again, we've got a huge part in this happening in us. We can't just pray for this, Lord, renew my mind. It begins when you and I come in my soulless realm. I want to regularly set up conditions to where the Holy Spirit can come in and operate in my soulless realm and have maximum impact. And one thing, when I'm distracted and running and going and planning and huffing and puffing, that's the wrong condition of soul. When I'm anxious and worried and bent out of shape and things aren't going my way and oh my God, what's going on? Wrong conditions. Wrong conditions. You know, he told us what to do with anxiety over in Philippians, the fourth chapter. We just go to the Lord. All of this is you. You know, tomorrow's got enough worries, evil sufficient for itself. We don't need that, Jesus said. Don't be concerned about all this. But he wants the peace of God to come in and mount a garrison, a guard, and erect a wall where we can walk in the peace of God in Christ Jesus. That peace comes up for us to live from. But see, that's the wrong condition, that anxiety and those worries and those distractions. So what I have to do is get into a place where I begin to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to where he can move more easily. And as long as I'm in fear, fear is a bad condition. It's very difficult for the Spirit of God to come in and rule in a fearful conditioned house. So here's one of the first things we want to do. Study God's Word. Now this is an information part of this, but we need to accurately interpret the Word of God. And study is one of those things that we can get into and begin to do our homework, begin to study. There are so many study aids out there now. And do our legwork and not be lazy. And so that we can properly interpret what the Word of God has to say to us. So that is a part of it here. Then though, we move to the next stage, which is meditating God's Word. That begins to open you up on the inside to receive. See, the thing about study is this. We're almost in command of the material if we're not careful. We can go in, we can pull a verse out here. We can pull a verse or passage over here. And we can start to put this piece of puzzle together and jam the pieces together. You ever been putting together a crossword puzzle and the pieces didn't work? Maybe when you're a kid. So you did everything you could to jam that little corner into that spot, even though it wouldn't. Almost getting a scissor out to trim it up to go into that spot. So when we're studying, we have to be honest with the Scriptures. Scripture will interpret itself if we're doing a good job. And the Spirit of God will work with us in interpreting Scripture. But then meditation is allowing the Word to come into control of us. It's not me saying, okay, this is this and this and that. It's a matter of me opening myself up inwardly to the Word and just letting it speak to me. Giving ourselves over to the Father. Father, I come before your Word. Whatever you need to say to me through this passage, through this verse, through these Scriptures, Lord, speak to my heart and just begin to meditate them. Now, there's a different type of meditation in study as there is versus some of the meditation I taught on that one. You know, that series that we've got up on the podcast, Making the Word Flesh, that's one of the types of meditation that's so important, where you sit before the things about who you are in Christ and just start absorbing them like a sponge. And the Spirit of God begins to connect Scripture supernaturally. And suddenly the full picture begins to form by the Spirit of God. And an understanding comes that you never had before. That's meditating in the Word, opening up. The Bible is not just the book we read. It's the book that reads us. The Bible will read you. It will read exactly what you are. And it'll tell you what you are. It'll tell you what's right. It'll tell you what's wrong, maybe going on in your life. But number three, we need to speak God's Word. Whatever God says is truth. The truth is in Christ Jesus. We need to speak in agreement with what the Word of God says. Very important. Again, that's on one of those messages, making the Word flesh. Number four, we need to act on what we see in the Word of God. Here's a problem. A lot of people, they don't mind studying the Word. They don't even mind meditating it. And they don't even mind speaking it. But one thing that they're missing is acting on what they're seeing. Acting like the Bible is so. See, action completes the circuit. That study, meditation, speaking, and acting completes the circuit that causes things to happen in our thought life. And if I'm studying and I'm meditating, and I can even be acting on the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, but if I'm not acting, the circuit goes, it's broken. It doesn't do a work in my soulish realm, in my thought life, the way that it needs to. So that's a huge part of this thing. Find passages on who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus. Meditate those things. Position yourself. And by doing these things, you will position yourself so that the Holy Spirit will reveal them to you. Brother Hagin's little mini book, In Him. So important. All those verses in there. But I want to stress one more vital point that often is left out when you're talking about this. Number six. No, number five. I didn't get to that one. Ask God to reveal His Word. That's what Paul's praying over in Ephesians and in Colossians and in Philippians. He's praying for the Word to be revealed. The Spirit of God wants to open you up. And He wants to open you up to the realm of the Spirit that you're already plugged into. So we've got to see this. Because the world's not going to show you. The world tells you the opposite of this. But here's what I really want to get to. Number six, obey every prompting of the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is what shuts down a lot of people too. They'll do those other things, but obedience to what He shows us, it is that missing key that a lot of people is stopping their transformation. Because again, when the Spirit of God tells you He wants you to do this or that in your life, guess what comes up immediately to protest that thought? Carnal thinking. The flesh nature immediately says, you can't do that. I wouldn't do that. You're in a store. Somebody's down the aisle. The Spirit of God is going to begin to, He wants you to experience what's in the Word of God. There's somebody, you don't know these people, and the Spirit of God wants you to go there, and He gives you a couple of thoughts that He wants you just to say. Something along the lines of maybe, simply would be pretty common probably, tell them how much God is, He's looking at their life, and He loves them, and He wants to come in and comfort them, that He has the answer for them. Things along that line. And you look down the aisle, and this rises up in you. You know, you don't know who they are. And the next thing is, they look like they might get mean. So instantly, carnal thinking says, they might get mean. They don't know you. You're going to look weird. I wouldn't do this. You're going to look like a freak. Somebody's going to be walking by, and they're just out shopping, and here you are talking. That's going to sound real religious to them. You're going to turn people off to Jesus. What if they turn on you and slap your jaws? I mean, it'll get frantic. And the closer you step to that individual to obey, the more frantic those thoughts will become. And they start racing through your mind. Carnal thinking doesn't give up ground easily. So it fights you tooth and toenail. So we've got to recognize that for what it is. And what we have to do is press past those old era, carnal, fleshly thinking to obey God with nerves a-jangling, with thoughts a-racing. Thanking God for His grace the whole way. Father, I will to do the will of You who has sent me. With voice quivering, whatever it takes, obey Him. Whatever it takes, obey God. And timidity will not get a renewed mind. Timid and bashfulness and all that, we can't get a renewed mind that. But God's not giving you the spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of sound mind, or self-control. Sound mind should have been translated self-control. You can control those thoughts. you can stop those thoughts. You can begin to speak truth. Inwardly, you can do battle right in Walmart with those thoughts that raise themselves up and try to stop you from moving forward in the truth. Casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the obedience of Christ. Cast them down. You have the ability to do that. We all do. Something supernatural happens when we do this. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Living Water said, we are a mirror reflection of the glory of the Lord. That's awesome. What's the glory of the Lord? Everything that He is. He said, and as that glory is allowed to shine through us, see, when you're obeying God and you're doing these other things, you're allowing it to shine through you. In the process of you obeying God and in the process of you doing what you just heard Him say, He says, as that glory is allowed to shine through us, it also transforms us. Change. See, it wasn't just studying the Word that brought change. It wasn't just meditating the Word that brought change. It wasn't just speaking the Word that brought change. It wasn't even just acting on the Word that brought change. It was obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit. When we completed that, when we fulfilled that sixth thing, then suddenly change happened as we were obeying. In the act of your obeying God, supernatural transformation is made by the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of times what we want to do is just sit home and be changed and then go do it. God's process is as you go, you will change. Remember Jesus was talking to the lepers? And He said, go show yourselves to the priest. You know, you're well, you're healed. And it says, as they went, they were healed. As you and I go at the prompting of the voice of the Master, healing and wholeness begins to take place. But we have to go. We have to move. We have to do what He's told us to do. So it's in the doing. It's in the obeying. It's not reading the devotionals every day. It's not reading our favorite blogs. Those things are fine and dandy, but they're only on a lower part of the fuller process. We've got to complete the circuit. We've got to do these things. As we go, transformation, supernaturally, it's a work of the Spirit of God in us. It's a Spirit-driven activity. Remember Dallas Willard said. So, one of the advices, the last advices I can give you here is this. When you're talking about mind renewal, be patient with yourself. Cut yourself some slack. Because if you're a very driven person, if you're a real motivated person, one of the things you can do, you can get very down on yourself. You can get very hard on yourself. Don't do that. That's counterproductive. Let the Spirit of God minister comfort to you. And I'm a person who will tend to do that to myself. I can just crank down on some Dennis. I can take his head and scrub his head and pull what three hairs he's got left right out of there. I can work on some Dennis head. And you know what? It gets me nothing. And I've had to learn to step back and go, get back up, dust myself off, keep moving forward. There's no way I can get any change done staying in a place of self-degradation, just beating myself up, and you can't either. So get up. If you're down today, get up. Get up. You have the comfort of the Lord. He comes in to comfort you. And the same comfort that He comforts you with, you can turn around and comfort others with. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, Paul talks about that. The comfort that He gives us, we can turn around and comfort other people with it. If you've been down and you've had the comfort of the Lord administered to you, if you see somebody else down and disappointed in their spiritual growth, go comfort them. Encourage them. Build them up. Because that's what that comfort, one of the reasons it was given, it wasn't just for you. It was for you to transfer to them. They may be having trouble hearing from God right now because all they're hearing is themselves beat the snot out of themselves. You need to be the voice of God in their life. You say, woo, I don't know. Oh yeah, no. No. The image of God is being restored in you. For such a time as this and for this purpose, you came. I like what John G. Lake said. He said, the development of the soul into the likeness and stature of Christ is then the greatest element and purpose that can enter our lives. God himself puts it first. Man ought not to put it second. So let's don't be afraid or too lazy to fight for this change. Let's do this. Now, we're going to watch a video here in just a second. I think it's outstanding. When you're talking about the world system and the pressure it's trying to put on you, this is a video from DC Talk from many, many years ago of a song called Consume Me. And I want to let you watch this, and I want you to try to interpret what's happening in this video, because it is a stunning illustration of the world system and its attempt to operate upon your life and what it tries to do. And watch what these characters do, and let it minister to you.